But later, you know, he came up to me and said, you know, you're a very courageous man. You're very brave. And we decided not to fight on this issue. So let's work nicely until the end of the season. So no problem. So at that time I felt I was a Japanese, but they trusted me. People I worked with. So anything else?
What do you think was the greatest trouble when you were in the United States?
Greatest trouble in the United States? In terms of communication? Cultural
communication.
Are you saying Japan is included in here too? No, only within the United States.
That's for you. That's for you. Mm-hmm. What kind of trouble you got in the United States?
No trouble.
you didn't have any misunderstandings because of cultural differences?
Not to the extent that, you know, I felt like, oh no, I can't live in this country, I have to go back. No, I didn't. I didn't have that problem. Actually, I remember only good things that I did in the States.
Wasn't it because of your English ability?
Not necessarily. To some extent, you can say language skill is important. But I think it's my personality. I don't know. I never had a real bad experience. Sometimes, of course, people call me Japs, you know? Like that. I didn't get angry. Because I was talking with him, and this guy thought, apparently, Japs is a short, you know, short form of Japanese. And he come to me, hey, you Japs are nice here. Yeah, maybe. And Wanga came up to me, you Japs have nice, clean teeth. Look at my teeth. He was admiring my teeth. Nice, clean, white, you know, shiny teeth, I thought. And so, how could I get angry? So, I said, you know, the Japanese people do not necessarily have good teeth. I said, I have fairly good teeth, but other Japanese have bad teeth, perhaps. They said, no, you Japanese, you Japs. And he said, keep saying that. And wonderful teeth. Well, this lady, she had never come so close to Japanese. She said she wanted to touch me. And she was drinking. This was a hotel. And if I let her touch me, my cheek though, you know, said she'll pay me $5. One touch, $5, that's good. Sure, you can touch my face. So, I don't think I have any real bad experience. But I tell you, my Japanese friends are. Every night they're complaining about the United States. They got together, they complain. This American's terrible, they're selfish, they're individualistic, too individualistic. And perhaps they are. But I don't think they're, you know, more selfish than Japanese. I cannot say that. If they are selfish, we are just about the same. Okay. So I didn't have any bad experience or any trouble in that sense. Maybe I was choosing the kind of people that I like, I guess. You know, I was avoiding troublemakers, maybe. But I do the same thing in Japan. There are certain kind of Japanese whom I cannot respect, who I cannot get along with, then I don't become friends with them. So I live in an area where I can really communicate, basically. So. Perhaps I was unconsciously avoiding people that I couldn't communicate in America, probably. But, you know, like when I was looking for a job, I never had trouble just because I was Japanese. But I heard other people saying something different. You know, the Americans are very prejudiced. Some people said that. Probably this is true. I met a few businessmen who were very conservative and who were angry at Japanese because we attacked Pearl Harbor first. They remember Pearl Harbor, 1941, they still remember that. So But still, I didn't get angry. One of my students was a soldier, one-time soldier, you know. And he was very angry at me in the beginning. What happened in the class was other students started defending Japan, American students, started attacking this soldier. Strange thing happened. So if the students know that I'm fair, then if the question is unfair, you know, other students will defend me. So I didn't have any big problems, luckily.
Don't you think that you there is a kind of racial discrimination toward Japanese that exists in the United States?
I'm sure there is, but I didn't experience it, see? I didn't really feel it. When I met people, first of all, I never gave them the impression that I'm a weak person or I'm no good. I wasn't overly proud, but I was myself. And if they said or did something which is funny, I asked them, why? Why do you pay me less than the other guy? Why? If the reason is good, I'll accept it. No, so long as you're fair, they will have to compromise with you. And I think prejudices exist in the hearts of every person that I can think of. You have prejudices too, don't you? But if you meet the guy and talk with a person for a while, maybe you begin to realize this prejudice is not good. So don't worry about it just because other people don't like you for some reason. It happens in Japan, right? Some people, some companies do not hire you for some reason that you don't understand. Maybe because of hair, maybe. Maybe because of the way you talk. I don't know. But oftentimes you do meet people like that who don't like you. The way you look, maybe, is disagreeable. I don't know. So I realized there are prejudices in America. Yes. I realized that. That's why I was saying these things among some of the things I mentioned. Americans, for example, also have a vertical society. It's not completely like this. No, not horizontal. They have, you know, this, for example, professor, associate professor, assistant professor, instructor, student, you know, all the down. It's a hierarchy, basically. So they do have that system. Just, I don't want to give the impression that, you know, Japan is that different from the United States or vice versa. What else? Okay, you have a question.
I think you could add ethnocentric is one of the factors that Japanese people are emotionally exclusive. Ethnocentrism, is that right?
Right.
I think the American people are
ethnocentric.
Ethnocentric.
Yes.
Japanese.
Right.
What do you think about it?
Well, I think both are. I said, no, this wasn't really my opinion. I said, ethnocentric, that's what some people say. There are 5 points I mentioned are not really my opinion.
Oh.
This is what many people are saying. Right. So I said, you know, as for ethnocentrism, here it is. Ethnocentrism is concerned, it's universal. Chinese have that. They have so-called 中華思想, right? Chinese ethnocentrism. The Chinook is called Qinghua, that means Middle Kingdom. They are the center of the universe. So Chinese have that idea. And a lot of people, I think every nation seems to have that sort of superiority complex, I guess.
So that means you think ethnocentrism has no connection to non-raciality?
Right. I think it's universal. Universal. Maybe it's a very basic, primitive feeling that like people like us here sometimes feel. If you go to a certain school and develop school very close ties, and somehow you become exclusive of the other groups, you tend to do that.
So people in a heterogeneous country, heterogeneous situation, country can have ethnocentrism too, right?
Yes, I think so. Because they have more contact. See, the black people living next to the white people, they tend to have more tensions, yes. So that's why I was saying heterogeneity automatically, you know, gets rid of ethnocentrism. That's not true. It's not true. Puerto Ricans live in New York, blacks live in New York, Chinese American live, the white people live, and they, deep down, they maintain some sort of, you know, exclusiveness. Jewish people, you know, they have something like that. They call them the chosen people, right? Maybe Arabs have the feeling too. So it's very mutual. The feelings are mutual, oftentimes. So what I was trying to do in the first half of my lecture was to criticize those points. Just because some people live in an island doesn't mean they're, you know, all necessarily mysterious people. Or just because a group of people use only this language doesn't mean anything. All the way down here, 5 points. But this doesn't mean we are denying the differences people have. I think there are differences. But differences should be kept as, how should I put it? Some sort of healthy aspects of human individuality. Human individuality. Don't think of the differences as something destructive or no good. Everybody's different if you really look at each other, right? The way you look is different from person to person. It differs. So we have to think about that. Differences are normal. But we should not discriminate against other people because of that. This is the key issue, I think. We have 3 more minutes to go. Different person? Can I call this one?
In Japan, a kind of gap exists. I mean, a lack of recognition. Still in Japan, those who can communicate with people of other countries is really minority people, right? And so when minority people is trying to establish better communication, you know, better pattern of communication, so the gap is getting wider and wider. So mm-hmm. How can we solve this problem?
You know, that's not necessarily true, though. Let me give you a very interesting example. I'm talking about my brother-in-law, Jeffrey, who stayed in Japan for 6 months. And his Japanese is terrible. And his friends are Japanese. Their English is terrible. But they're communicating. I was surprised. You know, his friends are fish, you know, fish market people or seaweed peddlers.
Seaweed
peddlers. Vegetable man, tofu person. Lots of tofu person. Tofu people. Really. Tofu-san, tofu man are communicating with my brother-in-law, doing a fine job. And this guy, he was selling tea, you know, green tea. And when Jeff was trying to move from the old apartment to my place, right, 1 week before he left Japan for Hawaii, this guy helped him out by, you know, putting all the junk that he had in his van and drove him all the way to Mitaka from Tanashi. And he was very, his English was really low level. He can say, I go, you type of thing. You know, cannot connect with him. But he said, I really enjoy this man, this American boy, 24, but anyway, he's a boy, very nice man. I liked him. Communication was definitely established. Also, Jeff went to go to the public bathhouse. So he became friends with the person sitting on the Bandai. So, you know, I mean, they couldn't communicate very well, but they, in terms of language, but still, they became friends. So I'm not too worried about that.
But as for personal level, that's okay, but as for diplomatic level?
Well, as far as diplomacy is concerned, anyway, we cannot get into that world, right? no matter how well we learn the language. The government does that. So I think that's nothing that we can do about.
Say to Tomabechi.
But I think, you know, if you really, in other words, this is what Matsumoto says often says, at the very human level, if you treat the other guy well, that's the best diplomacy. Last night, I was talking with my wife, and she said, I asked her, you know, do you really enjoy staying in Japan? She said, yes, because she has lots of Japanese friends, closer to her than American friends. And how did you make friends? Because she tried to enter a Japanese community. Our daughter went to Yochien in the kindergarten, she went there. She didn't understand what the Yochien teacher was saying. This is, PTA meeting or something like that. And so she went there. And the other wives come over and say, hey, this is what the teacher says. Help her out. And she really became part of the community. And that really helps. So she says she never felt alienated. And if she's sick or something, her Japanese friends bring flowers to her. I don't, but they do. Sometimes, you know, her friends are better than her husband in showing compassion and sympathy for her. She goes to yoga. The yoga teacher is Japanese. She has friends with KDD people. Also, she has become friends with people in the neighborhood. A big apartment complex. Lots of people say hello to her, and she said hello to them. And she said, people are wrong saying that the Japanese people ignore each other in a big apartment. But that's not true. Everybody's very friendly. I don't think it's because of me, though, because I don't see those people. In the daytime, I come over here. At night, I go home. So actually, I don't see those people in the apartment. But my wife sees them a lot. So she organized even tiny quartet, you know, this music club. The one Japanese lady plays cello, the other plays violin. My wife plays flute. See, the housewives are doing something there. And then a lady, at the end of the apartment complex, came over and said, our daughter was in England for some time, and she would like to learn how to play the flute. Would you like to help her? So my wife said, okay. She was helping this Japanese girl without being paid. And this sort of neighborliness can be developed. And I think you have to take the initiative in doing that. Then I think you don't have to worry too much about diplomacy as such. My basic feeling is that even if you don't know the language well, but if you show your sincerity or friendliness, usually the other guy responds to you. Funny thing, this is what happens. But if you keep saying, this is no good, that is no good, well, you never understand this particular thing because this is uniquely Japanese, then I think there is no communication. You know, there's an American guy who wrote a book on tofu. This became a bestseller in the United States. I forgot the guy's name. And he became a deshi in a tofu, under the tofu man. And he worked very hard. You know, it's a very feudalistic society, right? And he did that. Now, if you look at Jesse Takamiyama, an American who lived in that most traditional and feudalistic small world, and he made it. So we have to accept the fact that non-Japanese can enter outside. Look at judo is now international. So if you really look at those concrete examples, we can definitely establish communication. So I think really it's time for us to establish communication instead of talking about the differences. Why don't we try to find similarities as human beings? And if you can use English for that, I think that's wonderful. But if you're always analyzing, you know, it indicates something which follows after that, this sort of grammatical thing all the time, then of course you get into trouble. I'm hungry now.
very sorry to say, but it's time, so we have to close today's dojo.
Well, so. We enjoyed a lot, really.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Takao.
Bernard Redmont, who have been witnessing the page of history being written this morning on a desk in the Hofburg Palace, the signing of the new Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty between the United States and the Soviet Union. Bob Pierpoint, that must be quite a moment there.
It has been a very